supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Haitians in the Philadelphia region are relieved after the U.S. government decided to extend a kind of temporary immigration status to that group. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Citizens of the country, which was racked by a 2010 earthquake and subsequent hurricanes, will be allowed to stay and work in the U.S. for six more months. Though WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports the U.S. is winding down the program.
When news of the extension broke, Jordani Jean-Baptiste, vice president of the Haitian Coalition of Philadelphia, says his first thought was thank God. When he heard it was only for 6 months instead of the usual 18, his second thought was,
that's what they put on the table, but the reality is not going to happen like that. You cannot send six more people to make a plan to leave. Make a plan to leave to go where?
Conditions are improving in Haiti following the 2010 earthquake, said Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly in a statement announcing the extension. Kelly also said the law is meant to be temporary and, quote, beneficiaries should plan accordingly that the status may finally end after the extension. That is crushing news for 38-year-old Kedi Etienne, who fled Haiti after the earthquake. If her temporary protected status ends in 6 months, she says she'll stay in the U.S., even if she has to illegally.
I will quiet myself to sleep. I will wait until they arrest me.
Many Haitians in the U.S. point to continued food shortages and a lack of housing as signs that their country's not ready for an influx of people when the status ends. More than 58,000 Haitians in the U.S. have the temporary status, now set to expire in January. Laura Benchoff, WHYY News.
Registered New Jersey voters participating in the June 6th primary election will determine the Democratic and Republican candidates vying to replace Governor Chris Christie. NewsWorks Tonight continues a series of conversations with the candidates. Joining me now is Montclair native and resident Democrat Jim Johnson. Mr. Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Extensive background, an attorney, serving as Undersecretary of the Treasury in the Clinton administration, chairing the Brennan Center for Justice from 2004 to 2011. An extensive legacy of public service, though that's different from campaigning and running for elective office. Any surprises to date? And now here we are in the home stretch.
The surprises to me have been that there's a lot of joy and surprise on a campaign. There are also many tragic stories that are heard about people who have suffered while the government has ignored them. One of the themes that I've made very clear in my campaign is how the government has to be restored to the people, because the insiders within Trenton, Republicans and Democrats, have actually ignored many of the concerns of the states. And so we aren't where we should be, whether or not it's in the economy, property taxes, or high level of foreclosure. And we need a governor that is going to focus on those concerns.
The problems you allude to, they're longstanding. How do you begin to solve, let's take them in turn, property tax?
One of the big issues in solving any of the hard problems is changing the way Trenton operates. For years, decades, Trenton has been a very transactional place where you just solve the immediate problem in front of you, and it's a question of horse trading. As governor, I want to take a look that's based on a government that actually functions well because of ethics reform, which I proposed, that brings in place some of the best minds to tackle these issues, and then brings the public in to resolve some of our hard questions, because too often the hardest questions are resolved inside the back room, and the public is left out.
Though, as you refer to transactional horse trading, you're going to be dealing with the legislature. How will you get them to come together?
Well, I would get them to come together the way that I was able to get many people to come together when we're dealing with difficult issues. Years ago, I was asked to chair the Advisory Committee on Police Standards, which was looking at the question of racial profiling by the state troopers. Not an easy issue at all. And I was asked to help the governor decide whether or not the troopers had made enough progress to be released from a federal consent decree. I led a committee of citizens. We engaged the public. We held hearings around the state. And after we had given many people an opportunity to be heard, our decision-making was in the daylight. We presented our findings to the legislature. And because our process had led to a lot of public support, and at the end of the day, it's public support that causes legislators to pay attention or not, we ended up having our proposals passed by both the Assembly and the Senate by large bipartisan majorities.
I previously spoke with a GOP candidate for governor, Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, and from his website, we're dead last in economic growth, drowning in debt, crippled by rising property taxes, unable to fund core priorities like infrastructure and pensions, et cetera, et cetera. Do you agree, perhaps not with the letter of what he's saying, but the spirit that New Jersey has a long way to go?
There's no question New Jersey is not where it should be. And it's been under Republican stewardship for now nearly 8 years. And a lot of these problems have gotten much worse or been ignored. This is not a time, I think, to let the baton pass from one Republican governor to another.
To the extent that you are introducing a sense of partisanship, now tell us about what you refer to as your Trump protection plan.
President Trump challenges all states in a very significant way, and New Jersey, our core values in particular. What has happened over the last week gives us a basic and clear frontal challenge to the rule of law, the firing of the director of the FBI, the allegations, if true, that he actually asked the FBI to terminate an investigation are not only deeply troubling, but put us in the zone of Watergate-like infractions. My Donald Trump protection plan starts with preserving the rule of law, which is under assault right now, and states should be as robust in their own zone in response to that. So I'd make sure that our judges were strong and reflective of the full diversity of the state, that the attorney general would be prepared to represent and defend cities that are may come under assault because they are sanctuary cities, and that the reforms that have been made in the area of criminal justice over the last 6 years are not rolled back and we return to policies that have failed in the past.
Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Democrat Jim Johnson, gubernatorial candidate in New Jersey. You can hear much more of our conversation at newsworks.org. In addition to giving the candidates a voice, we also want to hear what's on the minds of Garden State voters. And over the next few months, we're airing an ongoing series about the governor's race called Voting Block, in collaboration with several other news outlets that serve New Jersey. The series will look at the issues facing the state by focusing on how they're affecting one town. WHYY's Joe Hernandez brings us the first installment in the series with an intro to the small town of Paulsboro in Gloucester County.
Gary Stevenson's basement is wall-to-wall neon beer signs. There's a 1957 jukebox that holds 200 records at a time, which he fires up. If there were a Paulsboro History Museum, Stevenson's basement would be it. He's got the desk of Paulsboro's first mayor and plenty more.
Got church pews down here. The church was getting ready. I cleaned out their place. Chest from 1850, the wheelchair the mayor got put in over there. So
Stevenson is a lifelong resident of Paulsboro, and he's got two jobs, funeral director and mayor.
I can marry you and bury you. And I've done that quite a few times on the same day.
Although Stevenson is trying to preserve Paulsboro's past in his basement, he spends most of his time thinking about the town's future. Paulsboro is a two-square-mile town of 6,000 people. It sits on the Delaware River, due east of the Philadelphia Airport. Historically, it's an industrial town of blue-collar workers that relies on factory jobs. But as refineries have closed or downsized here, Paulsboro has seen good-paying jobs disappear and residents move away. Stevenson, who became mayor last year, inherited many of the consequences of this economic shrinking. He says amid the exodus of homeowners and an influx of renters, previous administrations did nothing.
Me personally, and I may offend a few people, I think they let the rental industry get way out of hand. I think they let the code enforcement get way out. It wasn't enforced as fully as I believe it should have been. And, it's the old broken window theory. This house has a broken window, deteriorates, well, affects the next house, and the next affects the next house.
Stevenson is working on a housing initiative to tear down or rehab many of the dilapidated or abandoned homes in Paulsboro. But that is hardly the only issue facing the tight-knit working-class town.
Police say gunfire erupted just before midnight at a house near West Broad and Pine Streets in Paulsboro, Gloucester County. The man was pronounced...
Violent crime is also a big concern here. The town has had a couple murders in as many years. At a recent public meeting in Paulsboro, residents worried that young people and out-of-towners were becoming more rowdy and violent than ever.
I'm afraid the next time it's going to be one of our babies. I appreciate the police. I most definitely do. I come from a family of law enforcement. I respect you guys. But I'm telling you now, get something done or all your positive is going straight to a negative, and it's going to go this summer.
That was Krista Cooper, a lifelong resident of Paulsboro.
Hi, how are you?
I caught up with her at her home on Buck Street, where she told me that lately the small town is on edge.
Things have gotten worse here in the last 3-4 years. Things have gotten to where it's entirely too much. In the last year, it's gotten to be unbearable. In the last month, it is just what on earth is going on.
A recent street fight outside her home made headlines when a few cops trying to break it up were assaulted by bystanders. Police officials say crime statistics actually are stable, but Paulsboro Neighborhood Watch President Barry Corradetti says crime has always been an issue.
You know, we kind of have the blue-collar area town, the suburban area, but yet in parts of our town we have more of an urban area, you know. So if you look at a city like Camden, you know, we kind of reflect that on a much smaller scale, but we have those same issues.
Just this week, the Paulsboro Police Department received a community policing award from the state attorney general. On top of vacant housing and violent crime, there's a third major issue, school funding, a perennial issue in New Jersey. Towns and cities across the state have struggled for years as education costs have increased, but state budgets aren't keeping pace. Plus, property tax relief is often cut first when budgets get tight. Paulsboro has received flat funding from the state for 7 years, even as its homeless and special education populations have gone up, which adds to the district's costs. This year, those costs grew too large. A plan to outsource aides and custodians and lay off teachers was met with anger at a school board meeting earlier this month. The district saved the aides and custodians by switching them to a cheaper health plan, but they cut 6 teachers, 3 administrators, and a secretary. Paulsboro is by no means all bad news. The town is getting its first supermarket in years. A Paulsboro high school graduate just got picked up in the NFL draft by the Houston Texans. High school sports, especially football and wrestling, are huge here. And the port of Paulsboro recently opened, bringing some work back to a town that has lost refinery jobs. But on those three major issues, housing, crime, and schools, Paulsboro seems to be reaching a tipping point. The problems are getting bigger while resources are drying up, which is why Paulsboro and other small towns like it are paying close attention to the governor's race this year. They feel forgotten by Trenton and want to know what the next governor will do for them. Mayor Gary Stevenson.
Do I get upset when I see Camden getting $10, $15, $20 million to rehab neighborhoods and I get nothing? You're darn right I do. I mean, I think they need to spread that wealth around a little better to the smaller towns and not just concentrate on the big cities.
Paulsboro is a Democratic town. 4 years ago, voters here chose Barbara Buono over Governor Christie. But resident Krista Cooper says she's looking less at party affiliation and more at where state lawmakers decide to spend taxpayer money.
And the politics are most definitely going to have to take this small town into consideration, so that we don't turn into a city with even bigger problems. There are small little towns that are suffering big time because of cuts that start in our government.
We'll be checking in with voters in Paulsboro from now through the November election. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.
Once you've scooped the New York Times and Washington Post, what's next? One high school senior from New Jersey has big plans, as WHYY's Dana DeFilippo reports.
In just a few weeks, Jamaica Ponder will leave Princeton High School with a diploma in hand, but she already has her eyes on the end game.
Long-term plan, I really want to be Secretary of State because I'm really passionate about international diplomacy.
That might seem ambitious for somebody who just became old enough to vote, but at 18, Ponder already is, in her words, a little bit famous. She's a student journalist who has exposed racial tensions at her high school in online blog posts that were picked up by news organizations as far away as Israel. She was the first to write about a party where some of her classmates played beer pong with a Jews versus Nazis theme. She also outed a white classmate who posted a racial slur on Snapchat and a white student who falsely accused a black student of giving him marijuana-laced brownies. All three posts led to school investigations, mainstream media coverage, and concern in a cosmopolitan community that many thought was post-racial. Although her work has earned her some haters, Ponder hasn't faltered.
When there's any type of aggression towards the black community, that hurts me. And to stay quiet about it isn't something that I don't even think I know how to do.
The headlines have given Gary Snyder more than a few headaches. He's the principal at Princeton High. Still, Snyder says, Ponder is one of many students at Princeton who buck the stereotype of a bored, uninvolved teenager. Two other Princeton students, for example, wrote a textbook to help students navigate tricky conversations about race.
Jamaica and just hundreds of other of our students are not apathetic. They are engaged. They know how to communicate. They know how to raise the topics. They know how to have dialogue. They work towards making this school and this community and our country better.
This summer, Ponder will head to Northwestern University outside Chicago to study journalism. She plans to keep up her online writing, chronicling social injustice wherever she sees it. Dana DeFilippo, WHYY News.
On the Table is a one-day forum designed to engage area residents over a meal, coffee, drinks, whatever, to discuss local issues and ways to make their self-described community stronger, safer, and better connected. On the Table started in Chicago in 2013 and has expanded around the country. Today, in Philadelphia, conversations are taking place all over the city, in offices, libraries, even modern industrial workplaces. We had our own conversation here at WHYY with our neighbors in Chinatown and Old City. Eric Law of Asia Crafts, well known as the Hello Kitty store in Chinatown, Stephanie Raitano, owner of Capofito Pizza and Gelato, and Rasa Vella of Indy Hall joined Plan Philly's Diana Liu to discuss living and working in two of Philadelphia's most well-known tourist destinations.
So thanks, everyone, for coming here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's nice being here.
I'd love to hear from each of you, starting with Eric. What's the most Philly thing you've seen in Chinatown, or someone who walked by and you say, that's so Philly? Got to tell people to come so you can see that's so Philly.
As I've gotten older, past 21 legal age, we go to clubs or to bars. You know, I'm not sure if other cities have this, like where you can go to a late night eating spot and sit down and have like a family style meal. I feel like when I visited friends in California or New York, after going out late night, we just go home or we go to like a cart. But to have like restaurants in Chinatown where you can sit down and still converse and kind of have like a after hour spot, basically, with food and where everyone can just recap the night or just continue the celebrations and whatnot, I felt. I'm not sure if that's exactly Philly, but that's something that I hold dear to myself. Mm-hmm. And I would want to show friends coming, mm-hmm. visiting from out of state or something. You know?
And Stephanie, what's something that's so Philly that you've experienced recently?
In general, I think that the most Philly thing is the use of language. I think words like John and yo are just spectacularly Philadelphian. The word John, I say it, like, pass me that John over there. Or, do we have any more of these Johns? Because it's just this fantastic word that encompasses everything.
Yeah, like down ashore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, non-Philadelphians would ask, which shore? Rasa, what's the most...
Oh.
Philly thing you've experienced?
I'm in the hot seat.
Week.
Well, I have a friend from North Carolina coming to visit this weekend. And so I had asked her, you know, what do you want to do? And she's like, I've never been. Show me anything. And I was like, well, we don't have enough time for that. And I said, I do want you to see my neighborhood. I don't live in Old City anymore, but I want you to see Old City.
Yeah, it is your neighborhood.
It is my neighborhood. I have two homes in the city. And so I'm just do a little walking tour. So I'm going to show her El Frisali, which is the oldest continuous residential neighborhood in the United States. Mm-hmm. There have been residents on that street before we were Americans, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then I'm probably going to swing her by Franklin Fountain to get some ice cream and probably get cheesesteak at Sonny's, which is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I will show her my hallowed ground of Ben Franklin's homestead. And then we'll, you know, see Independence Hall and see the Liberty Bell and wash it all down with a beer at the Independence Beer Garden. And so that's the little, like, Old City tour that I have planned for her.
And there's a ritual, right, to eat cheesesteaks?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the South Philly lean. You've got to lean far enough forward that any grease or cheese whiz or onions don't go toppling down your shirt but land on the ground instead.
That's a local secret right there. Well, this has been awesome, a little ridiculous, very Philly. So I want to say thank you to Eric and Stephanie and Rasa for letting people know what makes for a Philadelphia good time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Plan Philly's Diana Liu speaking with Eric Law of Chinatown and Stephanie Raitano and Rasa Vella of Old City. You can hear much more of their conversation about life around Independence Mall at newsworks.org. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov, Kimberly Haas, Ty Johnson, and Breck Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.